What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Phillies Today. We're going to do our best to talk a little baseball here, right in the meat of the offseason, as our Philadelphia Eagles, which I'm sure many of you guys out there are, they suck right now. They are terrible. They are horrible. I am doing this right after the loss to the Giants. I don't really have any words to say about this. This is a Phillies podcast, but that's what we're here to get you. I just don't have a lot of words in the Eagles. I just don't. It's been truly been embarrassing the last month or so, and today was the peak. So let's talk baseball. Let's talk baseball. I know there's not a whole lot going on right now, although there was a big signing. The Dodgers signed somebody else again, which we'll get to in just a little bit when we update you on around Major League Baseball. But usual stuff today. Usual stuff. Want to continue with some of the series that I laid out for this offseason. What to expect from a player in 2024. And a different theme for underappreciated Phillies. I feel like I've gone through a good amount of them. And I put a tweet out a while ago asking people which Phillies are underappreciated, and I got an answer, and I wanted to investigate that player, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit. So just a couple of things today, the usual stuff, and we'll end with this day in Phillies history, as always. So, continuing, what to expect from a Philadelphia Philly in 2024. Johan Rojas. Yes, the same last name. Whatever. Who cares? Love Johan Rojas, though. And in 2023, it could seem like, and really the premise of what I took away from Johan Rojas' 2023, he left us with a bad taste in our mouths. And especially the way the Phillies season ended. It just didn't feel good. It didn't feel good. Johan Rojas hit like 0.93, literally. His batting average was 0.93 in the playoffs. And, you know, a lot of Phillies fans out there say, oh, well, why didn't we move him out of the 9-hole? We shouldn't even played him, blah, blah, blah. Look, this guy wasn't expected to hit in the playoffs. Yes, he actually hit fairly decent in the regular season through 59 games. I want to remind you about that. But in the playoffs, he was not expected to do much. Remember that. 1 through 7 and 1 through 8 should have been doing the job. Johan Rojas really in the 9-hole was not expected to do much, and he was, you know, really just in there because of his glove. And that's kind of, you know, why Rob Thompson stuck him in there, was because of the glove. They put him in the 9-hole and you said, look, you're here for your glove right now, especially only not even through 60 games of regular season games in your career. So, Johan Rojas in 2023, through the regular season, 59 games, 2 homers. His first one, was there against Minnesota. He hit it off a position player. I wonder how that feels to hit your first career homer off a position player. I feel like that would feel weird. I feel like I wouldn't want that. Anyway, 2 homers, 23 RBIs, a 302, 342, 430 slash line, 771 OPS, which was good for a 111 OPS plus. That was good. And then a 2.5 baseball reference war. Like, that's a good, those are good numbers. Like, I feel like people just like disregard that. I know it was only 59 games, but still, it's like everyone talks about how terrible he hit in the playoffs. It's like, okay, whatever. He's a rookie. Like, and he wasn't even supposed to be in there for his bat. But just saying, it's not like he didn't have technically it's not even his rookie campaign, but a solid, you know, 60 games through his first year in the majors. So let's like not forget about that. That's all I'm saying. So Johan Rojas, for me, like, I thought he did a good job when he came up and in the regular season through, you know, those amount of games. Thought he did a good job. Plus, like, the glove. Dude, through 59 games, he had 9 outs above average and 15 defensive runs saved. And he passes the eye test, if we want to talk about the eye test. So, eye test and the numbers. Incredible. So, Johan Rojas was awesome, I think, you know, defensively in 2023. He showed off why he was, you know, was it was an exciting thing to bring him up, to bring him up to the majors. So Johan Rojas, you know, the in 2023, the really the great defense and the solid bat during the regular season was a big deal for him. And then, of course, you know, like I said, bad taste in our mouths with the horrible numbers in the postseason at the plate. So that's what pretty much the premise of what we got from Johan Rojas in 2023. So what to expect from in 2024? I think continued great defense, number one. Number one, continue to play great defense. That's what you're known for. That's what you were known for in the minors. That's what you were known for so far since you've come up. Maybe I'm pretty sure it was against Atlanta or was it against Miami where he made that like huge catch in left center. It wasn't like I think people overhyped the catch, but it was still a great catch. And I think it was in a big moment of the game. But Johan Rojas, the defense is, you know, is supposed to be his number one, his best attribute, obviously. So continue to play great defense. Continue to do what you did in 2023 as far as defense goes. Number two, I think just replicate what you did at the plate during the regular season. Do exactly what you did offensively in 2024. Just replicate that, and I'd be happy. You doesn't have a lot of power, but the 302, 342, 430 slash line, like, I'm cool with that, especially as a nine hole hitter. Come on, man. Like, not a whole lot of pressure on this kid as far as the bat goes, because there's so much more talent in this lineup, especially now Bryce Harper's going to come back and we're going to have him for a full season. So even less pressure on Johan Rojas there. So, like, I'm cool with that size. The nine-hole hitter, those are, like, good to hit 300 and have a 340 on base and have an OPS above league average. Is like, that's I'm taking that. So I'm expecting that in 2024, even if he doesn't have a batting average, like, above 300, if it's below or on base isn't, you know, as high as 340, still okay with that. So continue great defense, and replicate what you did at the plate during the regular season. Also, the speed thing, speed factor, this goes with you know, the offensive production. He had 14 stolen bases last year in those, you know, almost 60 games, and, you know, those, if you put that for like the per 162 stats, per 162 rate stat, like, that's, you know, maybe like 40 stolen bases right there, right? In a full season. So, like, you know, Johan Rojas is known also for the speed, by the way. And he also had 62 stolen bases in 2022 in the minors. So it's really, you know, his glove, his speed also is something that I'm expecting in 2024. I'm expecting that. So 2024, also expecting the speed. I want to see the speed from Johan Rojas too, like we've seen. And then the last thing to expect from 2024, when we get to the postseason, and hope, you know, if Johan Rojas has a good regular season and he's on the postseason roster, better. I do want him to do a better job in the postseason. You know, wasn't great this year, but I want to see some progress this year in the postseason. I would like to see that. That would make me happy. As a Phillies fan, to see him progress, and it would, you know, hopefully propel the Phillies to get a World Series ring. He wouldn't be a key cog. I don't think we expect that, but just better than like an 0.93 batting average, please. Like, that's what I want from Johan Rojas. I don't need him to put up Bryce Harper playoff numbers to do a better job in the postseason. And lastly, Baseball References projections for him in 2024. Not mad at it. Seven homers, almost 40 RBIs, 15 stolen bases. What's that, like 282 plate appearances, 253 at-bats. So that's like almost twice as many that he had, you know, this past season. With like 15 stolen bases, it says, oh, well, I'd like a few more than that. Like, you know, give me like 25. I would like to add that to that as well. 281 average, 342 on base, 435 slugging, 777 OPS. That's what we're looking for. I think that's what we're all looking for. So, Johan to continue to progress as a major leaguer. And, you know, the 2.5 WAR last year, I think, you know, it speaks to, I know it's just one stat, but they mean something. So, Johan Rojas. That's what to expect from Johan Rojas in 2024. So, shifting to underappreciated Phillies. And this is somebody that I thought was interesting because I put out a tweet about a month ago, I want to say now. It was like within the last month. And I put out a tweet because I've been doing this underappreciated Phillies series. And, you know, I asked the question, name an underappreciated Philly. And I got, you know, a decent amount of responses. And one of them I got was from Eric Billups, who is frequently I talk to on Twitter. He is a great follow. Make sure that you follow him. I want to get his Twitter handle here because I know it's here somewhere. But he tweeted me a little, you know, when I tweeted that out. Let me actually have the tweet right here. So I want to make sure I get the tweet exactly. And here's Eric's Twitter as well. Show more replies. Where are you? Almost there, I promise. There we go. Eric Billups. It's Eric Billups 10 on Twitter. He said, it might sound insane, but I say the big piece. Of course, he's loved, but he's overlooked as the engine that made us run. We survived every injury of that era except for his. When he went down, so did the Phillies. I know he's appreciated, but not nearly enough, I would say. So the first thing I'm going to say to that, you know, in response to that tweet is I thought Ryan Howard was definitely, you know, he was a big piece to our offense, especially. Little overrated defense, not overrated defensively. He was not a good defensive first baseman. And I thought that brought his overall value down, but as a hitter was unbelievable. And I think, yes, he was a part of the, you know, the, one of the keys that made us run offensively, but I thought J-Roll was just as important. I thought that Chase Utley was just as important. Even Carlos Ruiz, a catcher, I thought was just as important, especially what he meant to like the pitching staff and everything like that. I would say that we, you know, Phillies fans appreciate him, you know, as a part of that engine that made us run with J-Roll and Utley and him. Like, I think we all appreciate what he did offensively, power-wise, for sure. So, first response in that to the tweet. So, I really do think Phillies fans did appreciate Ryan Howard for what he did. The 2006 MVP. The numbers that he put up from 2005 to 2011, right? His Rookie of the Year campaign where he hit, like, 22 homers and 63 ribbies and 88 games in his 05 rookie campaign. I mean, that's like a 40 homer, 120 RBI season. If you, you know, times that by two to 162 games, that's somewhere right around there. So, and he also had like a 924 OPS. That's really good. So, that was Howard in 05. And then of course in 06 has the unbelievable year. He hits 58 homers, 149 RBIs, 313 average, leads the majors in total bases with 383, wins MVP, Silver Slugger, his first All-Star appearance, all that great stuff. And then 07, 08, 09 hits 45 plus homers, the 135 plus RBIs. He was just a machine at the plate power-wise. So, but at the end of the day, I still think like Phillies fans appreciate that. I think we all see that. We're like, oh, Howard was such a beast. He was such a monster hitting, you know, 450 foot bombs in the bank going out of the park, like, you know, onto, you know, the floor at Ashburn Alley, whatever you want to call it, the floor. Well, you get what I'm saying. So I thought Howard was appreciated from that standpoint. Where I do think Howard is underappreciated, I think it actually comes nationally. And I've actually talked about this before, you know, in years past. I do think Howard's actually underappreciated from a national standpoint. You know, when we talk about, you know, the big seasons from like the Mark McGuire's of the world, Sammy Sosa's and Barry Bonds, and rightfully so, those guys are to me all Hall of Famers for the most part. Big names, huge, ginormous names. But even guys like, you know, like a Prince Fielder, I think I felt like he was a, you know, more of a popular name in Major League Baseball from like, you know, 07 to 2011, around that time. And I think Howard was probably putting up, you know, I'd have to look at Prince Fielder's numbers right now, but I'm pretty sure Howard was putting up even better power numbers than Prince Fielder from that stretch from 06 to 11. So I think he was actually more underappreciated nationally. I think, number one, because of the steroid era. He literally came right after the steroid era. Had that breakout season in 06, the 58 homers. People are questioning every guy that's hitting over 40 home runs. They're questioning, oh, is he juicing? Is he doing this? Is he doing that? And, you know, and it never came out that Howard's ever used any PEDs or anything like that. But it was always overlooked. The 58 home runs, almost 60, it felt like it was overlooked. The 45 plus homers, like I just mentioned about his numbers from 2006 to 2011. I mean, his per 62, 162 from 05 to 11, 46 homers, 138 RBIs. That is insane. But, you know, it's right after the steroid era when McGuire was in like 65 homers and Sammy Sosa the same thing and Bonds with the 73. So, you know, naturally, maybe it is a little more underappreciated. But, which leads me to my second thing, though, at the same time, no one actually really cares about the Phillies. Like, yeah, this past year, you know, it's like, oh, the bank, the Citizens Bank Park gets all this national attention because of how crazy of a home field advantage it is. But besides that, no one cares about the Phillies. No one cares about the Eagles. No one cares about the Flyers or the Sixers. Maybe the Sixers a little bit because the NBA is, you know, pretty big. But no one, no one really cares about Philadelphia. Like, people hate Philadelphia, obviously, and they just don't care. Like, it's a different hate than it is for, like, New York and, like, Boston or a place like that, or even, like, in L.A. You know, when Philadelphia teams are doing good, people are just like, yeah, well, we don't care to I don't know. It just feels differently with Philadelphia, so I don't know. It just feels like nationally nobody really gives a crap about Philadelphia. So, you know, even when the Phillies were, you know, making NL East runs and making playoff runs in the late 2000s, like, it just didn't seem like people cared. You know, Phillies Rays World Series, I know it was the Rays too, but no one cared about that World Series. No one cared. And it was also, you know, from an objective standpoint as a baseball fan, it wasn't like a super exciting World Series, so I get that too. But again, it just doesn't feel like people, you know, nationally care about the Phillies. So maybe that comes to another thing about Ryan Howard's underappreciation from a national standpoint. And number three, I also think his peak wasn't appreciated nationally. Like I said, I'm kind of beating a dead horse here already, but, you know, the numbers from 06 to 05, 06 to 2011 were insane. They were insane. Like, he was one of the best power hitters in Major League Baseball for that stretch, and it was not appreciated enough. It just wasn't. So, you know, it just seems like people overlook Howard when they talk about, like, Albert Pujols and, you know, even like I mentioned Prince Fielder there too, but, like, it just didn't seem like people appreciated Ryan Howard. You know, his name doesn't, like, come up a whole lot. Not that it never comes up, but it doesn't come up enough for how much of a beast he was for those 5 to 6 years for Ryan Howard. So at the end of the day, I do think Ryan Howard was appreciated as a Philly in Philadelphia. Fans of the Phillies appreciated Ryan Howard enough. I think it was enough. Nationally, though, I think there is a little bit of underappreciation. So while Howard, you know, while this is a segment about an underappreciated Philly, no, he's not an underappreciated Philly, but he is underappreciated nationally. So that's where I am with Ryan Howard. Hey, give me some names out there. I would love to just for you to, you know, tweet me at @Rojas_media_. Tweet me, give me a name, and, you know, I'll study, research the player, and, you know, deep dive into whichever player it may be, and I'll come to a conclusion on that player. I would love to do that, actually. So shout out to Eric Billups for that tweet. Make sure you go follow him, EricBillups10 on Twitter. Make sure you give him a follow. Always tweeting, always great tweets. So there you go, Ryan Howard. Couple more things before we get out of here. Just some things to update you on around Major League Baseball. The Dodgers get somebody else, another all-star bat. Like, they didn't need more offensive firepower. Teoscar Hernandez, just within the last hour, signs with the Dodgers. 1 year, $23.5 million contract. The Dodgers add some firepower in their outfield. Like I said, that like they even needed more weapons on that team. But Teoscar Hernandez to the Dodgers, and they just keep adding. They just keep dominating the offseason. So there you go, Teoscar Hernandez to the Dodgers. Sean Manaea and Harrison Bader to the Mets. Luis Guillorme to the Atlanta Braves, signing a one-year deal. Cardinals trade Palacios to the Rays for Andrew Kittredge. And then you got the Rays trading Luke Raley to Seattle for Jose Caballero. Brewers sign, not Aaron, Austin Nola to a minor league contract. Dakota Hudson and Jacob Stallings to the Rockies. Robbie Ray to the Giants for Mitch Haniger and Anthony DeSclafani. Big trade there as well. That's probably the biggest trade of the last like 3 or 4 days. Robbie Ray to the Giants, but he probably would make a midseason return because he got Tommy John this past year. So Robbie Ray to the San Francisco Giants. Michael Brantley retires. Congrats on a great career. Michael Brantley had a really good career and didn't have much personality. So maybe that, you know, kind of maybe you missed that. But Michael Brantley was a really good pure hitter. You know what I mean? Hit for average. And you don't get a lot of players that hit for average nowadays. So congrats to Michael Brantley for a great career. He retires. Braves secure Chris Sale to an extension, 2 years, $38 million. Last episode, we talked about Chris Sale and how that affects the Phils this season, but he signs an extension. It is official. And then the White Sox sign Brett Phillips to a minor league contract. Don't really have time here for this day in Phillies history. There wasn't much, honestly, anyway. The only one I'll give you, actually, the biggest one would be. Is that for the ninth? Yeah, it's for the ninth. Well, anyway, the big one for the ninth was this 2 days from now, this day in Phillies history for January 9th, Mike Schmidt in 1995 voted into the Hall of Fame in his first year of eligibility, having gotten votes from 96.5% of the participating writers. I don't understand what 3.5% of people would vote him out. That wouldn't make any sense. That's stupid. That's why I love the Hall of Fame, but then I hate the Hall of Fame at the same time for stuff like that. It doesn't make sense, but it is what it is. This day in Phillies history for 2 days from now. That's all I had time for. So that's going to do it for me, Francisco Rojas. I will talk to you guys on Thursday. I'm out.